And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Big Screen Breakdown. I am joined yet again by my lovely girlfriend, Betty. What is going on?
Hi.
How are you feeling?
I'm good.
Ready to talk about some movie stuff?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to jump right into the news this week, as promised. Last week, we weren't able to do some news because we had a whole news episode the week before that, but none of that really matters. We're talking about the news this week. Some cool stuff happened in entertainment, movies, cinema, TV, because we don't just talk about the big screen. It's just the alliteration worked for a Big Screen Breakdown, but you know, we like to talk about TV and stuff too. But as some of you may know, some of you may not, Zack Snyder is getting another chance to bring his Justice League vision to life, streaming on HBO Max next year. A four-part Justice League limited series, I guess they're going to call it. Each episode, for lack of a better phrase, is going to be an hour long. And it was announced earlier this past week that Jared Leto's Joker, you guys all remember Jared Leto's Joker, the one that nobody really liked, is going to be joining the cast of Justice League for these reshoots. Not only the Joker is going to be there, but also Joe Manganiello. Do you know that guy? He's married to, what's her name? Sophia something or other.
From the Jonas Brothers?
No.
Oh. Jonas
Brothers. Oh, yeah.
Her name's Sophia, too.
Yeah. Joe Manganiello.
Sophia Vergara.
Vergara, mm-hmm. Yes. He's married to her. So, he played the character of Deathstroke, and he was in the very end credit scene of the Justice League that was released in theaters. And they're bringing him back, too, to do some reshoots, too. Is it a show? I don't know. There, Zack Snyder's original Justice League movie is now being split up into four parts, and he's adding a bunch of stuff, and they're doing a bunch of reshoots. They're bringing old cast members back. They're adding the Joker into this movie now. They're adding this guy, Joe Manganiello. He plays a character named Deathstroke. Early reports from the movie before it even came out originally were that there was going to be a future sequence where the main villain of the movie, his name is Darkseid, where he kind of took over the world and leading the resistance, obviously, is Batman, because that's what Batman would do. But he's working with bad guys like Deathstroke and the Joker, so I don't know if that's what they're going to do or if they're just going to flesh out the city more, because they got 4 hours to fill.
Hold on. I'm so confused.
Of course you are. Ask away.
So, Zack Snyder originally was...
Zack Snyder.
Oh, Zack.
People are going to... Man, they're going to be like, how can you date this girl? Zack Snyder.
Listen, I don't do the research. It's fine. Show up
it's
and enjoy
fun.
My
yep.
time.
Have fun.
So he was supposed to make a new movie because everybody fought for him to do his own cut of the Batman.
He was slated to direct Justice League. He filmed
Justice League. Okay.
And then they had a family tragedy while they were in post-production.
Right.
He stepped away from the project. Warner Brothers, instead of giving him time, brought in Joss Whedon, who directed the first two Avengers movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, come in here and fix our Justice League movie so we can make money like Marvel Studios does.
Right, so it was a movie, and now they're turning it into a show?
Right.
Okay.
So HBO Max, who's also owned by Warner Brothers, for years people have been, because not a lot of people like Joss Whedon's version of Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
So for years people have been campaigning that the Snyder cut of Justice League gets released.
Okay.
And so they gave him the green light, gave him like $70 million to finish this movie. And instead of just putting out a movie, now they're giving him a little four-part, 1 hour each miniseries to tell his Justice League story. So he's got to fill 4 hours anyway. So, hey, guess he's adding a bunch of new characters and new scenes. And
that's kind of cool because then he can even add, like, storylines or extra, like he could just add extra scenes to, you know, make the story a little bit more emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
And, I mean, the best part about it is that now he has the benefit of hindsight because he can look back at what everybody hated about that, about the other Justice League movie, and make sure he doesn't put any of that in his movie.
Is what's his name still going to be the Batman?
Ben Affleck?
No. Robert Patterson. Patton?
Robert Patterson.
Patterson.
Pattinson.
Pattinson.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to educate.
I'm a Twilight fan.
Yeah, well, and your boyfriend's a huge Batman fan, but hey.
But hey.
Well, I'll educate you and I'll educate the masses. So, the version of Batman that Ben Affleck played a couple years back,
mm-hmm.
was supposed to be this version of Batman that went into the Justice League. And when that movie came out, it did terrible at the box office, didn't have the best reviews, and so...
Because of Ben Affleck, or just
because I think it was because of the direction. But so, Warner Brothers, this was their attempt to kind of have an interconnected movie universe like Marvel does.
Okay.
So, they kind of scratched that idea and were like, you know what, we're going to get this guy, Matt Reeves, we're going to make him, give him the reins to Batman, he's going to direct an all-new version of Batman, completely separate from this. So, Robert Pattinson's Batman is going to come out 2022 now, I think it got pushed back. But also, Ben Affleck's Batman will be there, and... It's like different universes. And you know what, though? At first, people are like, hey, that's a little confusing. But DC has been doing this for a while because they've had their comic book characters in TV. Like, The Flash had a show on the CW, and then they also had The Flash in the Justice League movie. So I think audiences are smart enough to be like, hey, yeah, that's this Batman. This is a completely different Batman, and not have to be like, oh, do these guys know each other? Are they going to meet? No, that's not Ben Affleck.
It's kind of like Spider-Man, too. Like, we had, what, 4 different Spider-Men?
3, but yeah.
I was close.
And, I mean, rumors are saying that the third Tom Holland Spider-Man movie is going to feature all 3 of those Spider-Men.
No way.
Yeah, they're going to...
That'd be cool.
Everybody's thinking that they're opening up the Spider-Verse. You can tell my girlfriend doesn't listen to my podcast. I talked about it a couple of weeks back. But
no, I did. I remember that one.
Yes. Nice save.
Thanks.
I remember that one. That was the one when you talked about Spider-Man, right? Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. Where it's like there's different types of Spider-Man in this alternate universe.
Right. And so.
See, I listen.
So rumors are going around that they're bringing back Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield to join Tom Holland in his third Spider-Man outing, which has started filming in Atlanta this past week as well. There's some more movie news for you. Either way, I'm excited for more of Zack Snyder's Justice League. I love all those DC characters, so bring them on. The more the merrier. And I, for one, didn't really hate Jared Leto's Joker. I thought it was weird, a lot of the stuff he was doing, and maybe he can reel some of that acting back, but I didn't mind it as much as most people, so.
I loved it.
Oh, well, there you go. Look at that. We got a fan. Let me ask you a question. Sure. Moving on.
Okay.
What do you know of The Bride of Frankenstein?
Absolutely nothing. Are they making a movie?
So they made a movie, you know, back in the 1930s when everything was all black and white and Universal was putting out all their monster movies.
Of course. All know that one.
Right. Frankenstein's monster. Right.
Are they making a new one?
Okay. So it has been announced that Scarlett Johansson.
I'm in shock.
Will produce and star in the science fiction drama Bride for Apple TV. You know, they have their own streaming service too, actually have a subscription to, but we've never used it. Yeah. from director Sebastian Lelio? I don't know. Bride follows a woman created to be the ideal wife, the singular obsession of a brilliant entrepreneur. When she rejects her creator, she is forced to flee her confined existence, confronting a world that sees her as a monster. While on the run, she finds her true identity, her surprising power and strength to remake herself as her own creation.
Ooh.
So this is, I guess, their twist on The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds more like The Stepford Wives than
Bride of Frankenstein. I don't think they're going to put her together from a bunch of dead bodies. If I had to guess, it's going to be they're going to build her, which is funny because Scarlett Johansson also, I guess you could say, starred as the perfect female voice in Her with Joaquin Phoenix. Did you ever see that one?
Yes.
Where he kind of falls in love with the robot voice. And now I feel like she's going to be a robot girl. So
I would actually kind of like it if they kept it as the original Frankenstein because that's such a classic story.
Right.
And it's like, it'd be nice to see it remade in 2020.
I can agree with that, but this is just the way that the world is going now. Like, look at, they just did The Invisible Man this year, and it was a suit. You know, it wasn't the original Invisible Man. He drank a drink and he was actually invisible. And this one, it's a brilliant guy who had figured out a way to make an invisible suit. So I think this, it's not going to be, they're going to bring, you know, put a bunch of body parts back and bring someone back from the dead like Frankenstein or Bride of Frankenstein originally was. This guy's going to build kind of a robot wife, and that people are going to see her as a monster that way to be like, you're not a real person, you're a monster. And they say she has powers or something.
But that's what I'm saying. It's no longer a sci-fi movie. Now it's just...
Well, it's not even a horror movie. That's what, I mean, Bride of Frankenstein, those are originally horror movies. So
like a sci-fi horror. So now we can't even list that in that same category because it's like an engineering.
Well, I know. They're going to teach us how to build a wife. Or it's like, what was that? Damn, I forgot the one where the nerds build a girlfriend. Old, like, 80s movies. I don't remember what it was called.
I wouldn't know.
Everybody, my friends are going to be yelling at the speakers. Anyways, so I guess Hollywood is just saying that Scarlett Johansson is the perfect woman. Because they're making her this bride. And then, like I said, they made her the voice in Her that everybody fell in love with.
Her, or at Jessica, least Joaquin. What is her name?
I don't know.
My favorite. I have a crush on her.
Oh, your lady crush. Jessica Chastain.
Yes. Mm. She'd be a good one, too.
Maybe they can build another wife. Jessica Chastain could be the upgraded model in the sequel. And then they can fight.
Maybe we should just write our own script and become...
There you go. Either way, you know we're going to end up watching this one. But I want to know what her surprising powers are. Is she going to have superpowers of some sort?
I don't know. See, that's the thing with like all these... what is that other one with Will Smith?
Which one?
I. Where he... All the robots take over.
iRobot?
Yeah. It's kind of like that. Like, I feel like it's so ahead of... Like, it's more geared towards the future where Frankenstein was more of like... past.
It was just a scientist going crazy and he wanted to see if he could create life.
Right. And it's like, well, you know, now we have so much technology, it just wouldn't work the same way.
Well, that's what they did with the Chucky remake. Remember? It wasn't a possessed doll. It was AI that had gone rogue.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah, no, I didn't really like that either. But
why ruin a good thing when it's already perfect?
All right. Well, either way, moving on. Do you know anything about Assassin's Creed?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
What do you know of Assassin's Creed?
Oh my gosh. We saw, before the movie comes out.
Trailers?
We saw trailers.
For?
Assassin's Creed?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What are you talking
about? It's about a girl who becomes a killer, right?
I'm going to look up to see if there's a movie called Assassin's Creed. Because I didn't say Assassin's Creed. I said Assassin's Creed.
Oh, well, look up if there's a movie called Assassin because... Nah, or I'm just making stuff up.
That's the movie that we're gonna write. Yeah, even Google's like, did you mean Assassin's Creed?
No, there's another assassin movie. We were gonna go to the drive-in, remember? And that was one of the options
for your Jessica Chastain.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't think it was called Assassin anything.
Yes. Or hold she on. Was an assassin.
She was an assassin. Yeah.
Confused. And because I have a huge crush on her. You're just any time to bring her up.
You're just stuck on her right now. It was called Ava.
Oh, whoa, totally off. Okay.
Okay. So Assassin's Creed is a video game that has had multiple sequels. The first one came out about 10 years ago. Anyways, Netflix. Oh, they had a movie a couple years back starring Michael Fassbender, and it wasn't very good, and it didn't take any... It took the general idea from the game, but they made their own new story.
Mm.
Didn't really like it. A lot of people didn't really like it. But today it was announced that Assassin's Creed is getting a live-action television show on Netflix. I like Netflix and I like what they do. And I really enjoyed the first, you know, 3 or 4 Assassin's Creed games. And I just stopped playing them because they kind of got samey. But I'm really excited about this. There's no casting or anything. We don't even know when it's going to come out. But I just wanted to bring it up because I really like Netflix and Assassin's Creed. And I'm really hoping that they can make it good. And I think that the premise of the game is that you as a person, your genetic template in the past, a kind of a past life that you've lived or through your ancestry, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, whenever, you were an assassin. And there's a company that puts you into your ancestors' memories and you fight and you live and you're an assassin.
You start killing all the new people.
Start killing everybody. No.
Everybody gets killed.
Everybody gets killed. But they're actually really cool games, and something that they do that I really like is that they use real-world history things that have happened. Like, the second game is through the Italian Renaissance, so you meet, like, Leonardo da Vinci, and, like...
That's cool.
So, I think...
Bring a little history into it. I like that.
And I think the game really lends itself more to a TV show than a movie, because movie, you know, you got 2 hours, maybe 2 hours, 20 minutes to tell a story. Where you can tell a story over 10 episodes, 8 episodes even. Right.
It's more flexible than a movie. It's
I personally hope that they go with the story from like maybe the first game or the second game because it's a great story. Mm-hmm. But they'll probably just come up with their own story or whatever. But either way, I'm excited.
Cool.
That's happening. There's some other stuff that happened. Like I said, Spider-Man 3 started filming in Atlanta with Tom Holland.
That's exciting.
That is exciting.
I'll watch that one.
Yeah. Oscar Isaac is potentially cast as Moon Knight for a Disney Plus series. He's a Marvel superhero, kind of like Batman a little bit. But okay. Yeah. What else happened?
Who's that actor?
Oscar Isaac. Let's see. What would you know him from? He played Poe in the new Star Wars movies. No? man, why can't I think of anything Oscar Isaac has done?
I'm like, not a huge Star Wars fan. I watched them for you.
You did watch them for me with me. He was in Ex Machina. This guy.
Oh, yeah.
Poe. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Poe. I don't know if it's been confirmed or if he's just in talks, but, he might be a superhero next. Ooh, they're rebooting the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in a TV show / movie universe that's going to all be interconnected. So that's kind of cool for all my 90s babies out there.
When you were like a little kid, like in, you know, childhood when Power Rangers was huge, mm-hmm. Who were you?
Oh, I was always the Green Ranger. Always
the green one?
The Green Ranger. Everybody knows I'm going to put his dragon flute in right now. I need dragons for power. And everybody was just swept with nostalgia just then.
I don't even remember the Green Ranger.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to rethink this relationship. All right, who are you? The Pink Ranger?
Yes.
Of course you were the Pink Ranger. Everybody was the Pink Ranger. And the Pink Ranger
we only have two options.
That's true. And the Pink Ranger was every boy's first crush.
I hope that they do change that if they're rebooting it so mm-hmm. That it's more of an even playing field. Like there's more women. Because it's like, okay, well, if you're remaking the Power Rangers...
They should make the Red Ranger a girl. Make the leader a girl.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I would love that. Mm-hmm. Somebody send a note. Or right. The white one.
Well, the white one was the green one.
Really?
Were you even a fan? Are we just going to be talking about Power Rangers this episode? He had Tommy. First, he was evil, and he whooped on the Power Rangers.
And then he quote-unquote, died. One.
And then, he came back as the White
Tommy,
Ranger.
Tommy, it's mm-hmm. all coming back to me now. Mm-hmm, you're right. Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. So I had a huge crush. Okay, so we're back.
Okay.
I like you again.
You like me again. But yeah, Green Ranger for life. Green Ranger was always even better than the White Ranger. He had the Dragon Zord.
You're right. I loved the White Ranger. Like, I felt like he was so cool. So, mm-hmm. like, kind of led his own.
And he had his own Zord. Yeah. Like, yes, way better.
Like, he didn't follow the pack. He was like a rebel.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, my gosh.
He's like, if you need me, I'll be over here.
I'm going to put the flute in again. Boom. All right. That was awesome. Okay. So, on to the main meat of the episode. It's spooky season. It's Halloween. So, because no movies.
Dear.
Yeah. So good. So, because there's.
That was mine. Sound like a Disney character.
All right. Here we go.
What's in this tea?
I don't know. She's drinking something. So, because there was no. Our theaters are closed again. We couldn't go anywhere. Luckily for us, HBO Max released the remake or. Just new movie of The Witches, based on a book, and then also the movie. No, not based on the movie. They're both based on the book.
So fun story.
Fun story.
I'm gonna throw it in here.
Sure, do it.
It was interesting because right before they released that they were gonna actually release The Witches movie on HBO, mm-hmm. we had just watched it maybe a month before that,
yep.
because we were talking about like old movies and like these classics. And one of our friends brought up Witches, and we're mm-hmm. like, oh my God, Witches, how could we forget about Witches? And we watched it that night.
Yep.
Which was about a month ago. And then, so when we heard they were remaking it, I mean, I was so excited because it was so fresh in our minds. Mm-hmm. It was like, we were ready for this. So we actually ended up having like a sleepover to like watch this movie because
with
this,
our friends that had watched the original with us a month ago.
Right. It was like the same group and we're like, okay, we're gonna get together, we're gonna get some watch snacks. Party. We had a watch party.
Yeah.
We ended up spending the night. And we fell asleep.
Listen.
Because we're old.
We're old. We're old people. I work 13 hours a day, okay? Sometimes I'm a little tired.
I work 4, but it's equally as hard.
But you gotta drive a lot farther than I do. So normally we do a non-spoiler spoiler section, but this is a remake of a book and there's a 90s one. So who really cares? tell me what you thought of The Witches. Well, let me really fast before. Witches, starring Anne Hathaway, Stanley Tucci, Octavia Spencer, a voiceover by Chris Rock. What'd you think?
Well, first of all, great cast.
Great cast.
Absolutely amazing.
I'd agree.
I am a huge fan of all these actors and actresses that were in this role. Anne Hathaway, love her. She could do no wrong by me. Yeah. So as her character of the Grand High Witch.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like the technology that they added to the movie
right.
was so great. Like the way that they made their mouths open.
Right, right.
The whole like
they gave them like a snakey quality and
yeah, like the snakes coming out of their dresses. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was really cool.
Right.
Some parts of the movie where Anne Hathaway, it seemed like she overplayed.
Is her overacting?
Yeah, like it was like.
I mean, she put it all out there.
She really did, but I almost felt like a witch wouldn't mock someone because they're more demonic.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I expected her to be more of like a witch.
A little more sinister.
At a bee in the room.
Ooh, there we go.
But she kind of mocked the grandma a couple times. Right. And, you know, like she wasn't scary. She was almost like just being mean.
Right, yeah.
And so I expected the witch to be a lot scary.
Yeah.
Rather than mean.
I don't know. See, I never know if this is an actor thing, if this is a producer, a director thing, but we just watched the one from the 90s.
Right.
And starring Angelica Houston as the Grand High Witch, right? And when she took off her human self, she was creepy looking and ugly.
Right.
And Anne Hathaway was never ugly in this. Like, she had a big, like, snake mouth a little bit and, like, some sharp teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But they never made her really look ugly.
Like you didn't... You think of a witch and you think, like, blisters everywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
she had a little bit on the head, but, like...
Yeah, but still, like, a full face of makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you're a witch... I don't want to see makeup on you.
Yeah,
I want to
yeah.
see you grotesque.
So that's why, like...
I want to look away because you're so ugly to look at.
Exactly. Because you never... Like I said, you don't know because, you know, you hear about, like, people in Hollywood that say, like, oh, if, like... I hear a lot about it in, like, superhero stuff. Like, these guys that are supposed to be... You know, all superheroes have a secret identity, yet they're always taking their masks off because they want face time. They want screen time. So you never know if it's, like, the actor that's like, no, I'm still going to look good...
Right.
Or if it's the producer being like, well, no one's going to want to watch this if Anne Hathaway's butt ugly the whole time.
See, that I have a hard time believing it was Anne Hathaway's choice because she's done movies like Les Miserables.
Right.
Where she's not the prettiest, you know.
I mean, she was still... I mean, they didn't really do anything to her face. They just cut her hair. She was still pretty.
They shaved her head.
But she was still pretty.
Yeah, she was still pretty, but I mean, she played... What, like a...
Well, she was down like and out and broken woman. Out. Yeah, broken down like and she, street walking,
yeah,
a lady
like,
of the night, all that kind of stuff.
She played the character that, like, nobody likes.
Right.
You know, she's, like, she's poor and she's dirty and, you know what I mean? So, I don't know if I could imagine her being like, oh, no, I have to have a full face of makeup on. I feel like when she takes on a role, she really takes on that role. Right. Like, from what I mean, obviously, I don't know her personally.
Your best friend, Anne Hathaway.
Spoke to her on Sunday.
Yeah. And we know you're listening.
But, you know, just from the movies that she's done, and I feel like how into character she is with, like, all her roles.
Right.
I can't imagine that being her call. I would imagine it was the director's.
Probably.
Maybe just to be more aesthetically pleasing.
Mm.
But I don't know.
I mean, she was rocking that wig.
She was rocking the wig.
Well, this is, I guess, my own fault going into this movie. And then, just like we said, this is just kind of what the world is doing now. They're taking these original concepts and they're kind of twisting it and changing it. So when we started watching it, I thought this was gonna be a movie more geared towards adults. I mean, these are based off of kids' books.
Right.
But I was just in my head thinking like, oh, they're gonna take this movie serious or something like that. I don't know. To me, this is clearly a kid's movie.
Right.
Like, you can watch this with your kids if you want to scare them away from strangers or something like that.
Right.
I liked it. I guess I had fun with it. Once in my head, I was like, okay, this is a kid's movie. Because, like, some of the CGI was a little, like it was a little here extra, and there.
Yeah.
Like, when she, like, threw the podium, it looked super fake to me. But, like, whatever.
She, like, shoots up into the
arch. Oh, yeah. And when they're shooting up in the, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Her head just goes straight to the arch.
Stuck into the ceiling. Yeah, so like I said, definitely a kid's movie. But my problem came with some consistency in the storytelling.
You had a huge problem with the cough.
I had a huge problem with the cough. From the beginning of the movie, when they go to the store, and the first witch is kind of introduced, the grandma starts coughing.
Right.
And she's coughing, and I was, because the grandma in the original movie didn't cough.
At all.
So, like I said, I never read the book, so I didn't know that this cough had anything to do with the witch. I was like, oh snap, this grandma's dying. But then she explains, like, no, I cough when there's witches around, you know? But she was coughing at the store, she was coughing at home, like, this cough, like, was with her, and the witch was kind of following them or whatever. And then you get to the hotel, and there's, you know, 100 witches there, and she's not coughing at all. And she doesn't...
She only coughs at, like, the walk up, but then when she's in her room, she's totally fine.
And then she has no idea that there are any witches there, even though there's 100 witches in this hotel.
So you would imagine that, her she cough would be tenfold.
Yeah, like she'd have that COVID cough. And then even when they go to the dinner... Where she's literally in the same room with all these witches. She doesn't cough until Anne Hathaway gets like 2 feet from her face. Yet she was coughing at home and coughing in the store. Like
it's when the witch is outside of her home.
Yeah. And I'm like, it just, you know, be consistent with it. And little things like that are what I look for, you know, in movies. But like I said, I had fun. You had fun. But it's definitely a kid's movie.
Right.
Like in no way, shape, or form.
It would have been cool if they made it into, like, an actual horror movie.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen. Yeah. But, it is what it is.
Especially because it's, like, around Halloween. It would have been the perfect opportunity to make it, like, something different.
Well, that's why I said we were going to talk about this for my, quote-unquote, Halloween episode. Because, you know, I thought that it was going to be spookier. But we have watched other things. I like The Witches. You like The Witches. Mm-hmm. You think it was better than the 90s one?
No.
No? It's just that nostalgia in there, huh?
It's probably just because I grew up with that, you know,
original. See, I had never seen the 90s one until we watched it a month ago.
You had never seen the 90s one?
No, I told you that, but it's cool. Okay.
Sorry.
So, I mean, they're both...
Pay attention to you, I swear.
Yeah, sometimes. They're both right there. Like, I don't know. Neither of them jumped into my favorite movies list or, like, favorite Halloween or... it's not even a Halloween movie. It's not like Hocus Pocus or anything like that. That's a good Halloween movie.
Yeah.
So, what else have you been watching? Just because we got a little bit more time to fill.
I binged, and I didn't mean to, but I binged the Queen's Gambit.
Okay, it's a new show on Netflix.
So, funny story. I was looking for something to fall asleep to, and I thought, what is more boring than just... So I literally, and now it's like in the top 10.
Yeah.
I watched it when like it was just kind of like, here's something to watch.
Brand new, and there it is.
Because I thought, this
chess will put
be
me to sleep.
So boring, and I need a nap so bad. Like, you know, so you want to watch something that is kind of like dull and
slow. Right.
Total opposite of what this movie is, or this show is. I loved it. It's got such a good storyline. It's interesting. It's engaging. The way that they start the series is like she has all these flashbacks at the beginning of the show, like which with every episode she has a flashback and you get a little bit more of her childhood.
Okay.
And so I really liked how they intertwine that into like how she grows up.
Right. Now, you binged this while I was, like, at work or somewhere else, so I haven't seen the whole thing. I caught snippets when you were watching it. Mm-hmm. So, don't spoil it, but kind of try to sell me on it.
Okay, so, like, summarize it?
Yeah.
Without giving away
big character developments or...
Well, I'll tell you what you know, because you walked in for a little bit of it. So, it's a story about a chess player, and she basically, you know, is a daughter of a single mother, and her mom dies, and then she gets sent off to an orphanage where she learns how to play chess just kind of by coincidence.
Okay.
And I would say a little bit of grit, right? Like she sees the game and she kind of wants to play. So she asks this janitor who is playing, like, I really want to play, and he's like, no. He's like a mean old grumpy janitor.
Okay.
So she's so determined, like, she continues to go back and, like, kind of entices him to let her play. And it turns out she's just, like, this prodigy of a chess player. But I like how it's so inspirational, like, because, you know, you think, well, I could never relate to her. I'm not a prodigy. But everything that happens in her life is relatable. She deals with like different like alcohol abuse. She deals with obviously neglect, finding love, understanding love, like things like that is what I liked. Like it made so much sense. But they had that twist on top of it where it's like, oh, she's a chess prodigy.
All around the game of chess.
And they make it so interesting. Like, the way that she plays chess. Like, you're, like I sat there and I was like, I want to play chess. Honey, someone teach me. Like, well, I want to know.
The show
know.
Can do anything. It inspires people to pick up
a chess board. Those are the good shows. If it makes you want to do whatever they're doing, react, become a superhero.
Unless you're watching something about a murderer.
Right. But that might make you want to become a detective.
There you go. The other way around.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought cool. I thought it was unique. Because it reminds me a lot of the other movie where I saw my girlfriend.
Molly's Game.
Molly's Game.
Yes.
I love Molly's Game. So if you haven't seen it, Molly's Game's a good one too. Which that one I don't think ever came up on top 10. I can't imagine.
I mean, it might have been on the trending list.
But I think it's an older movie.
I mean, it came out a few years back, but not like too old.
Okay, well, I really like that one, too, and it's kind of similar, right?
Right.
It's like, they have this uniqueness or this talent.
2017, so it's not even that old.
Oh, it's not that old. Yeah. Okay. But it's really good, and yeah, I think it's very underrated. Like, I had never heard about it before I watched it.
I think it's still on Netflix, so if you guys are looking for something to watch at night, Molly's Game, or day, whatever. I only say at night, because that's when I get home.
So those two are, like, really similar.
Mm-hmm.
Even the fact that they're both redheads. I was like, this is really similar to Molly's Game. Like, you know, kind of similar concepts, like a little bit of character differences, but the timelines and the way that the shows kind of run, like what they're about, like their topics are pretty similar.
Cool.
So I like it.
And you recommend Queen's Gambit?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And I'm not a chess player or a chess fan.
And she watched it to take a nap, yet she ended up binging the whole thing. So that should say how interesting it is. Very cool. Last thing we watched the new Borat movie, because that came out, and we have Amazon Prime, so might as well watch it. You know, it's, if anything, the movie makes you want to get out and vote. We got an election coming up, so make sure you go out and vote. You know, first Borat came out in like 2006, I think, so, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a long time. Yeah, we were in high school. I don't know. Honestly, like, the humor is a little much even for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of the stuff that they talk about or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this one gets like super political. Mm-hmm. And whatever side you land on, when it comes to, you know, left or right or independent, whatever. If anything, just go out and vote. That's all I can really say about Borat. It is Halloween time. This episode is going to come out a couple days before Halloween. So I wanted to ask you, what the heck is your favorite scary movie? Or your favorite movie to watch around Halloween, on Halloween? Hit me with it.
There are so many.
I just want one.
Okay, I think the one that will forever be one of my favorites is going to have to be The Others.
The Others. Do tell me why.
Last.
Don't tell me why. Tell them why.
I don't know. I just thought, like, when I first watched it, not only was it terrifying,
mm-hmm.
because it's so, it's not like a you expect it kind of surprise. It's more of like one of those things like, you know it's coming.
Yeah.
And you know when she lifts that veil, it's going to be something really horrible.
Right.
And it still gets you.
Yeah.
And those are the best kinds of scary movies.
Dig it.
When they don't have to overplay it or over dramatize it.
Mm-hmm.
And it still works just as effectively. And dig gets it. You like jumping out of your seat. I remember I watched it in theaters like when it came out.
Right.
I was like in high school and I couldn't sleep for like 3 days. Nice. Which is like when you know that's
Yeah.
But on top of that, I loved the ending. Okay.
Don't spoil it. You never know.
I don't think we've had, up until that point, I had never experienced an ending like that was so twisted.
Mm.
And you were like so mind blown. Like, whoa, didn't see that coming. And it was almost like a little confusing because you're like, what is happening?
Right.
And
it's one of those movies that makes you want to really watch it again right after because you're right. Like, oh, now that I know this,
let me pay attention to more of the cues. Exactly.
Yeah, there's another movie like that called The Book of Eli with Denzel Washington. You ever seen that?
No.
Okay, well, the revelation at the end of that movie makes you go, hold on, I gotta watch this whole thing over again.
Kind of like The Matrix and everything.
Yeah.
Like all those movies with those crazy endings. I'm like such a sucker for like an ending that blows my mind. Like,
nice.
That's what I want to see.
Very nice. All right. So my all-time favorite scary movie, and I can say all-time, but I don't know if it's really all-time, but I really love this movie. I always like, I love this. This movie, like you said, actually scared me. I saw it in theaters and it scared me. It was the original, I believe it came out in 2005, The Strangers. Not the sequel that came out a couple years ago, came out like last year. The Strangers, about a group of people that come to someone's house just to kill them and attack them.
The one we watched on
The one we watched together.
On our quarantine date.
Yes. We're not here to get cute. You can... But I like this scary movie because it actually scared me. Why? Because it's something that could actually happen.
Right.
These the bad guys in this movie, they're not a demon. They're not, you know, a guy with a hockey mask and a machete that can't die. You know, they're not someone coming after you in your dreams. They're just regular people who just want to hurt people. And that's a creepy thing to say, like, oh, it's such a good movie. But that's like what I look for in a real good scary movie is, does it scare me? Does it make me freak out when I hear something outside my window at night? Because this is something that, like I said, could actually happen. Regular people just doing terrible things.
And I think what's scary about that is there's no specific target.
No.
It's random.
That was the point.
Targeting.
Yeah. The line from the movie, the movie stars Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman. You know, when they're finally confronted by the bad guys, Liv Tyler asks them, why are you doing this to us? And she just says, because you were home. You were here, and that's why we're doing it. Like, there's no reason.
Yeah.
And that's the point. They're not motivated by anything. They don't know them. They are strangers who just want to cause harm. And
That's the scary part.
So, if you guys are looking for something creepy to watch on Halloween, because it's still quarantine time, still COVID running rampant out there, that's the real thing to be afraid of, right?
Well, we're going to go to a party.
Shh, don't tell the people that. We're being good Americans who are staying home, woman.
It's my best friend's birthday. I can't miss it.
Oh, my God. Anyways, well, if you're going to be better Americans than us and you want something to scare you on Halloween, you can watch The Others if you haven't seen it. You can watch The Strangers if you haven't seen it. Or if you've seen them both, watch them again. Show them to someone who hasn't seen them. And that's your recommendation from Big Screen Breakdown and his woman.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about something or other, but you know, we're still gonna keep trucking. That's, you know, get your streaming subscriptions up, because that's all we can really do right now. So from me and Betty, hasta la vista.